Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning, and we are joined by our friend Caroline Fenton here on the program, host of Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you doing?
We're awesome. Good. Did you enjoy your trip to Knoxville this weekend to watch your beloved
Tigers?
What
do you think, Robbie? You think I had a great time? You think I had the best time ever?
I do.
So is it like we're talking three against one. You were with three Vols fans. Is that right? Did you have anybody else on your side?
Oh, I didn't have anybody else on my side. I was a one woman band. That's it was me against the world. But at least I can sleep at night knowing that I won a national championship, and you big orange losers haven't.
There we go.
So take that.
Okay. We
that's fair.
We won a national championship.
Yeah. Me and Max Herz.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
I like it.
No, but it was a good trip. I had a lot of fun.
Well, good. We're glad that you're back safely here. So, Caroline, obviously, we're a week away, week and a day away from the draft. We've almost made it to this point. We've gone through every scenario imaginable to this point. I will say, though, there was one that I saw yesterday that I had not thought a ton about until Nick Suss put it in the Tennessean. Nick Suss had the Titans trading back with the Raiders to 13 and still landing Joe Alt. How much of a possibility do you think that actually is?
Like 1%?
That's about right.
But also, if you would have asked me, could the Titans get Will Levis at the 33rd overall pick last year, I would have said that's about like 0.5%.
Yep.
Good point.
So, like, you never really know, but just everything that I've heard about Joe Alt, that he is the most pro-ready prospect in this draft, that he's a plug-and-play left tackle, like, I cannot believe that Joe Alt would still be there at, what, 13?
13.
Or are the Raiders at 12?
13.
13. Okay, yep. So I cannot believe that he would be there at 13. Because I see the Bears sitting there at 9. I think the Bears could use a left tackle. The Jets sitting there at 10. Like, I think that protecting Aaron Rodgers is probably the priority number one for the New York Jets. I do not see it whatsoever happening. But also, weird things happen in the NFL draft. If I'm Rand Carthon and I say, well, we can trade back to 13 and we can still get Joe Alt, no problem. I think that he would be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I'm not buying it.
So we've reached...
But that would be great if it did.
it's an ideal scenario for sure.
Go team.
Yeah. So yeah, we were just talking about Stilly's... I know at the point you break down the draft so much. I can't get mad at him for like getting into the draft Drake May conversation.
No.
I mean, at this point, it's like, let's talk about every scenario. But what do you think about that? Just the another thing that I think is very unlikely, which is like Drake May falling to 7 and the Titans drafting Drake May.
Yeah, another thing that is incredibly unlikely, but also another thing that falls into the category of anything can happen on draft day. Again, Will Levis fell to the 2nd round, and we were talking about Will Levis being the 1st overall pick around this time last year. So weird things happen. I don't think that it's the craziest thing in the world, frankly, because I brought up a scenario with you guys last week of, well, you know, when you draft for need, that's when you draft Corey Davis at 5 and leave Patrick Mahomes on the board. And you were like, well, you know, if JJ McCarthy falls to you at 7, do you take JJ McCarthy if he's at the top of your board? And I said, well, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that he is at the top of the Titans board. I don't think that the Titans do view him as the 7th overall prospect in the draft. But if you do, then I guess, yeah, you do have to take him. I'll apply that same logic here. If you think that Drake May can be a franchise quarterback, if you view him as the savior of your franchise, if you view him as your quarterback for the next 15 years, and if you think that he is a better quarterback prospect than Will Levis is, then I guess, yeah, like you do have to do it. Because is Will Levis the Titans franchise quarterback? I don't know. Like, I hope that he is. I've seen things that make me really encouraged about Will Levis. I like Will Levis as a person, and I think that Brian Callahan sees tools that he can work with in Will Levis, but I'm not sold that Will Levis is the Titans franchise quarterback, nor am I sold that Bryce Young is the Panthers franchise quarterback. And I thought Bryce Young was the best quarterback prospect in last year's draft. So I don't think that it's the craziest idea, no. But then I do have to bring up the question of, okay, you take another quarterback. You trade Will Levis, assuming that there is a trade market there for Will Levis, which I have to think that there probably is, just because there are so many quarterback needy teams. They're outside of reach of a quality quarterback, or at least what we view as quality quarterbacks in the first round this year. Then that brings up the question, okay, well, Drake May is stepping into a similar position that Will Levis stepped in last season, and that is you don't have an offensive line. And sure, you can take an offensive lineman in the second round, like a Patrick Paul from Houston, if he's available there at 38. Is he going to be your left tackle for the next 10 years? Is he going to be able to solidify that left side? That's the conversations that they're going to have if they do, in fact, take Drake May at 7. Again, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he's going to be there. I think he's going to be gone at 3 at the very latest. But if you do view him as that kind of guy, like Tim Hasselbeck says, he's the most complete prospect that he has ever evaluated in any draft. If that's the case, how do you pass that guy up?
Yeah, I've heard him say that. He's been pretty consistent on that front.
He loves Drake May.
He loves him some Drake
May. But I've
also
heard a mixed bag on Drake May.
Yeah, for sure. No question about it. So, you know, obviously, Caroline, we watch a lot of SEC ball around here. I'm curious for your perspective on Dallas Turner, because I think he's universally viewed as the best edge rusher in the draft. He was obviously very productive at Alabama. Do you think when he translates to the NFL, is he like a total game wrecker? Is he a special NFL player, or is he just going to be very good? Because there is a pretty stark difference between those two things. And if you're considering taking him, if you're the Titans, you better be convinced he's special.
That's an important differentiation that I think we need to remind ourselves of. Is he a franchise player, or is he the best at his position in this draft? Because I was looking at Dane Brugler's Beast, and the best linebacker in this year's draft has like a second to third round grade. So it's important to keep in mind. I think Dallas Turner has the ability to be special in the NFL. Is he Myles Garrett? No, I don't think so. Is he Aaron Donald? No, I don't think so. But what's his ceiling? If you take Dallas Turner with the 7th overall pick, you think that he's Myles Garrett. You think that he can be your Micah Parsons. And if you think that he can be your Micah Parsons, again, that's another tough thing to pass up on. Because I know all of our draft conversations have been predominantly offense for very good reason. But let's not forget, like, you've got 11 sacks to make up for that you lost in Denico Autry. That they've got a lot of holes on defense as well. So I'm not opposed to the Dallas Turner pick whatsoever, but what can he be in this league? I think that he can be really good. Does that mean multiple all pros? Does that mean that he is a game wrecker? Does that mean that, you know, every single offensive coordinator in the league shudders at the thought of Dallas Turner? I mean, potentially. Does that mean that he could just be another guy? I mean, yeah, there's always a possibility of that, no matter how highly graded a defensive player or a player in general is.
Yeah, I'm leery of him as, I mean, he's the top edge, but I don't know. And this is not breaking down extensive film, but just watching him, he was good. He's a good player.
He's
but
good.
I
don't think he's Will Anderson.
I don't know that he's number 7 good, but we'll
yeah,
see if it.
Like, I think that he could be a really good pick at 12, 13, 14.
So the Nashville Predators, looks like it's going to be the Vancouver Canucks, Caroline. And when? I don't know. I guess we're hoping
sometime
at least
this
it
year.
Would be. Yeah,
yeah,
sometime.
Maybe 2025.
Yeah, but what
it's
do you
like? Like a wedding save the date.
Well, what do
April,
you think?
April 2026.
Exactly. What do you think of, you know, where they are, this long break for them and that matchup if it does happen?
It's a really interesting challenge for Andrew Brunette, because we were talking about this on our show yesterday. I asked Willie, like, what the hell are they going to do? Because throughout this season, it's rare that you have 2 days back-to-back without gameplay, much less 8. And so, of course, like, they got the day off yesterday. They'll probably be back today. What does that practice look like? Like, you're not going to have absolute balls-to-the-wall 3-hour-long practices simulating gameplay every single day until Tuesday. But what's the delicate balance there? And also, with that being said, you can try and simulate a game as much as you possibly can. You can hold a 2.5-hour practice as much as you want. It's still not the same thing. Like, it's still not mentally preparing for a playoff game. And I heard Barry on Jared's show yesterday, And you could tell that he was very frustrated by that. He was like, yeah, I'm hearing a lot of stories of starting on Tuesday and then a potential back-to-back Vancouver to Nashville after between games 2 and 3 or 3 and 4, whatever that would be. That's not going to happen. Vancouver to Nashville back-to-back, like, are you crazy? So a lot of these things that are being thrown out there, Barry said, yeah, don't expect that to happen. I don't think that the league wants that, but it's like, how anticlimactic is it that the season ends on Monday in Pittsburgh?
I know.
And then, then wait 8 full days and then it's the playoffs. That's just unheard of. Robbie, do you know the longest break that an NHL team has ever had between the regular season and the playoffs? I don't know, but I'm genuinely curious.
I don't know, but I would have to think it's, I mean, it's can't
be
more
week.
Than a week.
Can't,
like it
can't
usually
even be
it
a week,
can't
right?
be.
The season
This is
usually ends on like
ridiculous.
a Saturday. The playoffs start on like a Wednesday, and then you're going. I mean,
And isn't
that's
there a
basically what it
concert
is.
in Vancouver that is holding this whole mess up?
Timberlake's coming in. I think Pearl Jam's coming in at some point.
Okay,
That's all. That's
cancel
the
the
other part of this
concert.
is, like,
I'd go
hey,
to those.
did you guys not think that there may be a chance you'd be in the playoffs at some point? What are you scheduling all these concerts for? Like,
Yeah,
I think the
tell me
Preds
you
have.
think you're going to be down bad without telling me.
I think the Preds have Tim McGraw. Like, Bridgestone's got Tim McGraw coming in on April 25th, and that's pretty much it for a while. So,
hey, man.
It is
And I think
playoff
Tim
time.
McGraw would understand.
Yeah, leave the building open.
If Pearl Jam wants to play in your building, let them play in your building, okay?
Okay, that's right.
Screw Pearl Jam and screw you too.
Yeah, if it's Creed, it's a different story. Let them in. But
Yeah, if it's the Beatles, Robbie, it's a different
oh,
story.
good Lord.
Let
Yeah.
Creed have a, just basically just take over the place for a month straight.
Carte blanche
Yeah.
for Creed.
That's right. Caroline, great stuff as always. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll be listening at 11 o'clock.
I appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. We'll take your thoughts on what Caroline had to say. We'll get into the Nashville Predators coming up next. So some interesting points brought up there. We'll go through some scenarios and kind of what the playoff series format could look like if it is Vancouver in the matchup for the Predators. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell, Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keys are here with you on this Wednesday morning. Appreciate Caroline Fenton for being with us in the last segment. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Omaha Storm Chasers at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball and 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. The Preds waiting for the first round schedule slash opponent to be solidified here. So we know the 8 teams that are in the playoffs in the West. We now know the 8 teams that are in the playoffs in the East. So all the seeding, well, I shouldn't say that. All of the teams have been determined. The seeding still yet to be determined in a couple of different instances. Vancouver wins last night 4-1 against Calgary, which means Dallas has their season finale tonight. They're at 111 points. If they get 1 point against St. Louis or more, then they have clinched the number one overall spot in the West, and Vancouver can no longer catch them. And you know at that point it is Preds and Vancouver and round one. If Dallas loses in regulation against St. Louis and Vancouver wins their final regular season game, then it will be the Predators and the Stars in round one. So Vancouver has the tiebreaker over the Stars if they tie in points, which is regulation wins. Now, Vancouver plays on the road at Winnipeg on Thursday to close out the season. And Winnipeg is already locked in. They are the 2 seed in the Central, and they're taking on Colorado in the first round, and they've got home ice advantage. So I would guess Winnipeg going to be resting some people Thursday, but we'll wait and see what happens. But still a chance that it could be Dallas. But if Dallas does what they're supposed to do tonight, then we'll know tonight.
Any chance Duchesne does a one-man tank so we can get the Preds?
I think there is a chance.
Goes out there and just skates some figure eights and
handing
calls
out
it a
flyers
night.
In the morning skate of, hey, guys, let's lose this one. I want to go to Nashville. Hey, guys, let's lose this one. Let's lose. Let's lose.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, who knows? I mean, who knows with this? I mean, these teams that that have nothing to play for, sometimes they just play loose and they just let it rip and, get a couple soft goals and – it could happen, but I think we'll see Dallas take care of business and get the one seed tonight.
I think you will. I think you'll see them get the one seed. And then the question is, when the heck is the series going to start for the Predators, right? I mean, if it's Vancouver like we expect it to be, so they end their season Thursday, it's not going to be Saturday. I'm rooting for Sunday. Like, there's an article, and I think it was somewhere, all these Vancouver papers. I think the Province, something came out with, I think it was the Province, an article about, like, the schedule coming up. There's a Timberlake concert, I think, on, like, April the 29th. They've got some concerts after that. And basically the point of it was, like, somewhere in the middle of the first round series, it could get a little hairy. Like, you might have to do a back-to-back in Nashville, or, like, the other option would be at some point in, like, games 5 or 6, there's, like, 3 days off in between games. And does the NHL, if this series went 7 games, does the NHL want it finishing, like, 2 or 3 days later than some of these other first-round series? I don't know. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. I'm hoping that common sense kind of takes over and that they start the series Sunday. Like, I kind of agree from the standpoint of, like, it would be, I think, unfair to Vancouver to start it Saturday, to have, like, hey, you get 1 day off, and here's your playoff series starting on Saturday. Like, it's probably not ideal for them that it starts Sunday, but this, again, goes back to the schedule making. You know what else is not ideal? The Predators sitting there from last Monday until next Tuesday to start playing hockey again. Like, there's not really an ideal scenario. So I'm hoping it starts Sunday, and then you can kind of figure it out from there. But it is kind of I know building availability around the league makes this really difficult to do. To me, it's a little bit ridiculous that the last game of the regular season for each team isn't all on the same day, or at least within a couple of days. Like, if Wednesday, like, if the Preds finished today and Vancouver finished tomorrow, it's not really that big a deal. The fact that the Preds finished on Monday, I still, for the life of me, don't understand.
Yeah, so I've found the Province. The province it says the schedule could get ugly. So it's interesting because they don't actually have any bookings in their building.
Not until April 29th.
Yeah, between the 20th, and then that's the Timberlake thing. So I thought there was like a Pearl Jam somewhere in there. But yeah, so it sounds like whatever Friedman got that information, but they've – and actually, I heard from someone yesterday too, like they can't believe that that would be the case. So it looks like Sunday. But so the back-to-back then you're saying would be –
I heard games 3 and 4 in Nashville, which doesn't make a ton of sense.
So then,
they've done back to backs in the playoff before, but it is so, like, nobody wants that. The league doesn't want that. Certainly the teams don't want that. And they try to avoid that if at all humanly possible.
So the 21st, then that would mean game 2, the 23rd, yep. Right? So the game 2 would be Tuesday. But then I don't understand then, like, why the travel day would not be – I'm so confused by this.
There's a lot of – that's just kind of being thrown out there right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
Well.
Just start it on Sunday.
Yeah, start on Sunday, and then you travel on – then you travel on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you play Friday here. Isn't that – okay. I don't know. Doesn't seem that hard.
I don't know. I mean, I know that Tim McGraw's got a concert here on the 25th, but it's like next Thursday. So just avoid the Thursday, and then
right,
there you go.
You can't. Yeah, so then you play Friday. Yeah, seems simple. And then after that, I mean, I know sometimes these things get weird. Yeah, it's I don't know. I guess the league can't sit here and tell all these teams to, like, keep their buildings empty, right? I mean, you can't – especially some of the level of these concerts. I mean, Pearl Jam, Justin Timberlake, Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Creed, you know?
Jeez.
Well, come on. I mean, even if you like Creed, you understand that, like, Creed is playing the Wilson County Fair, okay?
Jeez.
It's like Puppet Show and Creed, you know?
How dare you treat friend of the show Scott Stapp that way? I'm not going
to
stand for it.
I don't know why I had to get those shots in.
You did, though.
But so we will get
two shows in Vancouver for Pearl Jam, by the way. How about that?
I mean, good for them. Are they not coming back here?
I don't know.
What the heck?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
all these concerts getting in the way of playoff hockey.
So we will know probably at midnight Thursday.
And Rocks Road.
Nice.
Yeah, baby.
There we go.
I'm hoping, yes, that we know by, I mean, honestly, it'd be great if like some things got wrapped up today and you could start to figure it out tonight. But I'm sure
that, the East is
like,
set.
If I'm Andrew Brunette, I'm like, please, for the love of God, tell me when I'm playing hockey as quickly as you possibly can. That would be great.
Right, because he needs to, yeah, formulate a plan.
So, by the way, the Predators are on the ice today in practice. So, had the day off yesterday, back at it today practicing, and we'll see how that goes. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Preds and the Titans. Coming up next, we'll get to some of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Score big this spring with the Lee Company, and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. Go to online to LeeCompany.com/giveaway to enter. That's LeeCompany.com/giveaway. The 10K Power Play Giveaway contest entries accepted until this Saturday. Lee Company, all you need. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com is with us. PK, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good to be here.
Good to have you with us.
What's going on? I'm excited. Not much. I'm anxious for, as Joe is, for this draft to come and go.
Absolutely.
Let's get it
8
over.
Days away. 8 days away from
Sounds
the draft.
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
So on that front, you're just discussing the Drake May possibility.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in you guys.
I knew you would be.
Well, nobody said the obvious answer. And Joe made it like, well, if the six teams in front of the Titans are out on Drake May, the entire league hates Drake May, the Titans are going to have to. If you're at 7 and Drake May's on the board, people are knocking your door down to get Drake May.
Could be.
I mean, it means the Michigan kid's gone instead of Drake May to somebody who preferred him. Somebody who needs a quarterback is going to go there. Listen, Drake May's probably better than Will Levis. He's better as a prospect than Will Levis was coming out. But, yes, do you run the risk of passing on the next Patrick Mahomes? Yes. But you can't draft, no matter what everybody says, you can't draft quarterback 3 years in a row when you have trading up twice, when you're in desperation for other positions that any quarterback is going to need, be it Drake May or Will Levis. You have to get a left tackle. You have to get a wide receiver. You have to get an edge rusher. You have to get all these other things. And it's ridiculous to think, well, we'll just take another quarterback who's not a sure thing. You have to cycle.
I agree with you, unless you or believe he's a sure thing.
Right. And then Caroline said, well, then you trade Levis. I mean, she falls into this thing like, well, everybody wants the guy that you no longer want. I mean, so you turn the guy that you traded for big resources. You spend a second. You traded, I don't remember what, your second and this year's third. And you trade him for a fourth or a fifth. Nobody's interested in Will Levis anymore. They've moved on to this year's quarterback class. That pick is so devalued that's how you mismanage a football team. You turn your second-round pick from last year, who you traded up to get, you turn that into a fifth-rounder. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to turn him into a first-rounder. You're supposed to turn him into a franchise quarterback. And so if you just keep picking at the same spot over and over, we don't have to look far for an example. The Titans have done it at right tackle. And how good a shape are they in? Isaiah Wilson, who, by the way, Joe gave a complete pass to the organization for when he finally wrote this athletic Titans draft file.
You just have so many grievances today.
When it gave a complete pass. So they get Isaiah Wilson, and then they get Dylan Radins, and then they get Nicholas Petit-Frere, and they still don't have a solution for Jack Conklin, who it was fine to let go. It's just terrible to fail to replace him 3 times. And so you've spent a first, a second, and a third trying to fill the same position. That's a problem. And you, even at quarterback, you can't do the same thing. And so if Drake May's there at 7, it's easy what you do. You take the best offer you get.
Okay,
somebody's going to like him.
Okay, but again, last year, there was a whole bunch of teams that were, why weren't they trading to get Will Levis? Because we were all expecting him to certainly go in the top five.
A team did trade for Will Levis. The Titans.
Yeah, the next day. You're like, oh, there's no way that there wouldn't be a team trading for Drake May. Are you sure? Because I just saw what happened with Will Levis a year ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
It would be one thing if Stilley came up with this because there's some buzz about Drake May falling.
I mean, I think
there's
we're
no
probably
buzz about Drake May falling.
Right. I mean, I think we're probably spending too much time on
Stilley.
Genius by Stilley who's creating a nonsensical scenario and has gotten 2 days of run on it. He'll probably do his whole show on it again today. On something that has, you know, is 98%, 99.8% unlikely to happen.
I, with everything that you just said, my only reservation is I do think quarterback's a little bit different. And my point is, like, if Brian Callahan walks in the room and looks at Brent Carthon and says, hey, man, like, this guy is awesome. Like, he's one of the best quarterback prospects I've ever seen. We got to get it. Like, I think quarterback, when you have a prospect in the draft that you are convinced is better than the guy that you have, you take that guy every time.
You'll say this is malpractice, too. The Titans, I bet you haven't spent a lot of time looking at quarterback.
They may not have.
You know, when Mike Shanahan drafted Matt Leinart, this is a pretty popular story. He called Jeff Fisher for his opinion on him. Somehow they weren't like that into quarterbacks that year. And they didn't look that hard at quarterbacks that year. And they were kind of surprised that Leinart was in play for them. And they hadn't looked that hard at him. And he called his buddy Fisher to get extra evaluation.
Hey, will you send me your notes? Can I copy your notes?
In the moment. It's amazing the degree to which this goes on. But you got it in your story about Derrick Henry. They drafted Kevin Dodd and the draft room didn't know that John Robinson was interested in Kevin Dodd. I know that about Corey Davis. Like, that was very much an independent, and they didn't have a great, they had a great evaluation in-house of Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry wasn't in play for them heading into that day at all. So stuff like that, people say, oh, that doesn't happen. They're prepared for every scenario, blah, blah, blah. They are. Do you think the Titans have done extensive research on Drake May? I bet they haven't.
I'm always interested in that stuff because, we just assume, like, every single prospect is completely vetted to the fullest. But you have to make choices. You have to make choices.
Allocate your time.
Yeah, you have to.
So, it probably doesn't make a ton of sense for the Titans to have spent a ton of time on Caleb Williams this draft process. Probably haven't looked a ton at it.
Right.
At him at all.
Like that would, right. And then.
The area scout looked at him as part of his checklist thing, but.
May's interesting because before we got to this, which again may all be BS and he goes number two and whatever, it was always going to be the case. But it does, like, he's one of those guys that you would have thought the same thing, like, we don't need to look at him. He's, but now it's like, well, gosh, should we? I mean, maybe Stilley's got the
Titans.
Stilley's got the Titans doing some more homework.
Stilley thinks they record his show and go over it microscopically and think, what aren't we doing that Stilley, what crazy, dumb stuff is Stilley talking about that we should be going over?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Paul Kuharsky with us here for the next hour and 15 minutes talking all things Tennessee Titans. We got a PK rant coming up next as well, which I know Rex Road very excited about. 2 weeks in a row, he's deferred on the rant.
Better be good, PK.
We'll see what happens.
Better be good.
Listen to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Fly is open. Let's go pee.
That's right.
Nick Westbrook Akine is not explosive. Repeat those words.
I said he was.
Well, let's say it. Let's get it on the record. He's not explosive.
I'm not Bart Simpson, the chalkboard for you. I'm not your little puppet.
It is that time of the day, normally the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Paul Kuharsky with us today, and he has taken over the rant duties for this
PK
program.
Rant.
Hold on.
PK Rant.
What is this background music? What is this? It sounds like Curb Your Enthusiasm, like a generic Curb Your, like Walmart Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Why do you care so much?
Jeez.
Why does he care so much? It's his show.
Yeah.
He's invested and he wants it to be
good. Yeah, give me a freaking answer.
It's tomfoolery.
Why does he care so much?
Tomfoolery.
That's a bad question by you, Nick.
It's not a question. I'm just getting at Joe.
Tomfoolery is the band or the song name?
Song name.
By who?
No idea.
General.
Thomas
Traditional. Fuller. Traditional. Like Tomfoolery.
All right. My rant today is intended to be playful. It really is.
Okay.
But my son is in a carpool that goes from our neighborhood to Sunset Middle School every day. There is a lead mom who does it, but some other parents contribute. And every day, they shockingly and disappointingly listen to another radio station in town. They're not sportsmen, if you will. They're pop music people. But they're addicted to this $1,000 minute trivia contest. And they listen to it every day, and they try to win on their own. And they even have created their own $10 minute that they do in this thing. And so it's a huge tradition. And they've been trying to get on this forever. And today was their day. Just before I came in here, I listened to it in the car. And it was a disaster. But I have to defend them. I mean, usually the questions, are start easy and get relatively harder. So if you do well on the easy ones, then there's a chance you might know the hard ones. And this is a committee working on it, right? So the mom is anchoring it. She's on the phone, but the kids are offering input and support. There's four or five kids in the car. But, I mean, these questions are outrageously difficult. Tell me if I'm wrong. Like, how many tablespoons in a cup?
Oh, God. I have no idea.
This is an easy question. This was like...
It's eight, right?
I think it's 16.
Oh, crap.
What color is Ditto on Pokemon?
Wow.
I think it's pink.
What new show is coming out? Are you smarter than a...
Well, I know the fifth grader. Is there a new one coming out?
Yeah, the new one is a celebrity.
Oh man.
Nobody knows that.
Kim Kardashian?
What local river is on the endangered river list?
Tennessee?
Duck. And what local record store has a new mural of Taylor Swift?
Oh, God. Ernest Tubb?
I couldn't even think of Ernest Tubb. I was trying to think of Ernest Tubb and text them Ernest Tubb, which is wrong because it's Grimes. I think they went 0-for on this list, which is impossible.
That's a heck of a question list.
Man, I felt bad for them. They were flailing.
So what are the questions normally like?
They're easier than that, at least at the beginning.
What is five times
two? No, there was a change question that they misheard and botched also, which was the easy one. But they just got leveled. She, to her, God bless her, she said, boy, we really expected to do better than that. But they just got destroyed. So I don't know. Now I can imagine every time they listen, they're going to be like, why didn't we get that question? Yeah.
That's like, it reminds me, like I watched.
And they were, yesterday Simon was, accounting his money.
He's ready to go.
His share of the money. He broke a TV in our house one time that he, quote unquote, is paying me back for.
Yes.
So I was getting some money out of this deal. Mm. No money.
That's going. Yeah, no it reminds money. Me like I'm
they
a
might
big,
get fined. They might get fined by the station for their poor performance.
So. I'm a big Family Feud guy. Watch a lot of Family Feud, and that'll always be on. I do pretty well watching them. Like I know what that is. I've always wondered, is this I'm in the comfort of my own home doing this? If I was on the stage, would I just freeze up? Would it be bad?
Yeah, I've thought about that too. I crush Wheel of Fortune, man. I should have been on Wheel of Fortune.
I have pretty good Jeopardy nights. Unless there's a killer category. But Wheel of Fortune, I'm terrible. And Family Feud, to me, is just cringe, awful. I like watching the lowlights that are, the clips of people who are just say the dumbest things.
You liked it better when Richard Dawson uncomfortably kissed all the women.
Yeah. I mean, it was a different time, Joe.
It was a different time.
There's no doubt about that.
So that was my rant, you would have said my rant sucks. I just want you to know. I thought it was fine, but you, as the rant judger, would have totally
savaged
me for that rant.
I would have liked that you would have brought something new to the table.
Oh, yeah.
And entertain the people. It's better than whatever you had.
Oh,
because
sure.
When I asked you during the break, if if you had something, you said no. So you would have been making something up on the fly.
I was having a happy day. I was having a happy day. So
I think that was perfectly
fine.
Sometimes
the rants are a little bit.
People can tweet in and say if they enjoyed it or not, and I'll take whatever criticism is offered. So I'll accept. But Robbie usually is the impartial judge of these sorts of things. I'd ask Nick, except I think his mic should be turned off for the day because of that terrible question.
Well, by the way, apparently that's from SpongeBob. Is that right, Nick?
Which?
That is from SpongeBob.
Yeah. So why did you just tell us that?
Well, because I don't think it's by someone that's in the show.
Oh, goodness gracious. You know what he meant. Where's it from?
Yeah, I didn't think it was by. What's
Seriously,
the guy?
Can we suspend
what's
him?
What's the guy's name? Squidward? I didn't think Squidward made the music. But it would have been good context to know it was from SpongeBob.
So is there an opportunity for redemption for these people? Like, can they get back on this program easily and do it? Or is this going to be one and done?
They put in their names probably at the beginning of this year. Maybe during last year, the same carpool existed. So it could take forever to get back on there. And then, I mean, the pressure will be enormous. But there's only, 6 weeks left of school before they're in a new school.
Is it that
many? And this carpool is potentially splitting up. Some kids going private, some kids going public. It'll never be the same again, Robbie.
Apparently, Ernest Tubb Record Shop is closed, so I can't keep up what closes around here. What stays open?
I was going to say third man.
I mean, just saying Record Shop is crazy.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, we need to preserve those. Dennis
Joe's a big vinyl guy, I'm sure.
You never had records?
No.
I know you had records.
In the past, yes. Today,
vinyl still sounds
one of my
best,
great pleasures. It does not sound the best. One of my best pleasures, and I used to go to that Power Records, probably closed before you got there. I was there during a tornado. I pulled in the big tornado and that knocked down a crane when they were building Nissan Stadium. So 30 years ago, I pulled into that Tower Records on West End and sought shelter.
It was 98. Wow. Yeah, I remember that one.
Those used to be everywhere. Dennis wondered how we were on Stump the Schwab. I could have crushed on that show.
Stump the Schwab?
Oh, yeah. Remember that one?
There was a time that I was good, and then there was a time where Netflix and other stuff was invented, and the NBA got terrible, and I stopped watching, and things like that happened. So the Knicks got terrible.
That's a sad take.
There you go. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with PK for the next hour. Of course, we'll take your thoughts as well on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's Best Deal, Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Gift card only good for the Tanger outlets in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.